All right, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me once again to the book of Isaiah. We are not finished in Isaiah yet. We are going to be starting in chapter 53, but you're going to want to kind of just stay fluent in the book of Isaiah as we'll be going from Isaiah 53, Isaiah 40, then back to 51, and then into chapter 62. And we're going to jump into the New Testament a little bit, but keep your finger in your Bibles marked to the book of Isaiah. Church, aren't you thankful for the Lord? He is so faithful. And coming in this morning, I was like, I wonder how I'm going to step into these verses, and I wonder how I'm going to step into all this, but Liz just set us up so well. Our baptism candidates set us up so well. The challenge for us today is to allow God to be our strength. God be our strength. Last Sunday, we talked about how through the book of Isaiah, we see that the Lord was about to do something new, and he was setting the building blocks for the people of Israel, this deep, fresh understanding that there would come a time where God would choose to see our sin no longer. Hallelujah. If you're here in this room and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have repented of the sin and you've asked him to forgive you, church, you are free and free indeed. And you can walk in that freedom, because even though our God is all powerful, even though our God is omnipotent, even though he sees and knows all things, when he looks at you in that repentant sin that you have done, he doesn't see it any longer. In its stead stands your Savior. In its stead stands your Savior. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about why God is able to do this. How come God is able to break the rules of reality? How can God step into this place and just move in a unique and wonderful way? If you didn't hear the girls today, we are stepping into the Christmas season. It's the best. It's the best. May it touch your heart, all right? May it just absolutely work in your heart. May you have more time than I have in my house to prepare yourself for Christmas songs. It's already happening. Yesterday, all day, there was a Yule log on my TV and the sweet sounds of Michael Bublé in the background, all right? Christmas for us, it's already here. It's already happening. May you get a little bit more time, but if not, may God touch your heart. Church, this year, let us remind ourselves every single day in this Christmas season for what the true meaning of the season is. Because we're going to be challenged, just as we are in every other season, to begin to create and begin to focus on all of the wrong things. May this season not be so busy that we take our eyes off of the cross. May our checklist not be so long that at the beginning of the checklist, every single day, may it always start with meet with the Lord. God is our strength. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about why it is that our Father in heaven is able to change everything. And just as this is a huge spoiler for the Christmas season, it's also a huge spoiler for the next 3 weeks. Spoiler alert, it's because of Jesus. Come on, he's the reason. He is the reason. He changes everything. For those of you that have been a part of LSB, our Bible school, I have had the awesome opportunity over the last couple of weeks, and we have a few weeks left as I teach the second course in the first term for first year. And in that second course, those beloved students of mine, they get to sit with Pastor Jason in the first course, and it's like really awesome. He talks about all their feelings and how encouraging he wants to be for them to like run this race. Then they get into my class. I'm like, welcome to my class. I hope you enjoy reading, because we're going to do 17 books of the Bible in 6 weeks. They're like, is there any other supplementary readings? I said, no, you just read the Bible. It's enough. It's enough. But it has been awesome to see Jesus over and over and over again in the Old Testament. As we journey through the book of Isaiah, especially in the second half of this book, church, you are going to see Jesus over and over and over again in these scriptures. And may it be a reminder to your heart, he changes everything. He changes everything. And we get to live in this blessed time, as crazy as it may look at times, as dark as the enemy may be lying you and trying to keep your attention on the darkness. Can I just tell you that the revelation that we have in Christ, the people that we're reading about in the Old Testament, they would have done anything to know what it is that we know. To be able to not just hear these prophecies from the prophet Isaiah, but to see their fulfillment in Christ. To watch as the veil of the temple was torn and the Holy Spirit was released across the world. As we read through the story in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is speaking on behalf of the Lord because nobody else is listening. Isaiah is speaking on behalf of the Lord because he is a chosen prophet for a chosen time. And God, at that point in time, spoke through the leadership. This morning, you can close your eyes and you can filter out my voice if it gets super annoying. And you can just have a moment with Christ right now in this place and he will speak to you. That's the God that we serve. But the reason that we're able to do that is because of Jesus. Church, it wasn't always that way. May we not take prayer for granted. The personal prayer that you're able to have between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There was a time where, even in the story of Isaiah, where you had to go to the leaders. You had to go to the priests. You had to go to people who had that gifted relationship because the price of sin had not been paid. But beloved, today it is. The waters of baptism, right? They're a declaration. Jesus changed everything. Because he stood for me on the cross. Because the Father breathed into his life on the third day. I want to stand here and proclaim, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all of the good things in my life. For we know that every good thing comes from the Lord. And that everything that is not good is not of him. Somebody needed that today. You get your notebooks out right now if you haven't started already. Every good thing that we have comes from the Lord. And everything that is not good is not of him. Go back to Genesis if you don't believe me. Right? As he created each and everything, what did he say? It is good. Because that's who he is. And that's what he creates. And it is good for you and I to be here at this point in history and at this specific time. But let us not take for granted the reality in which we live, that we have an open line of communication. What an opportunity. If you haven't been with us, we're walking through the entire Bible in 3 years in something called Becoming Heartstrong. And we find ourselves today in an incredible piece of this story. Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 54 are transformational books found in the Bible. If you're wondering where was Jesus predicted in the Old Testament, you can read through these three chapters over and over and over again, and you will see him jump out of the pages. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus as the arm of the Lord. The man of suffering and God of the whole earth. The arm of the Lord, the man of suffering and the God of the whole earth. Why is it important for us to go on this 3-year journey? Well, number one, because it's been so fun. It's been awesome. Right? It's been so fun to dig into scripture together, to read through all these things. We started in Matthew. We find ourselves in the book of Isaiah. It has been awesome to go through each and every book and not skip over scripture and have different places that we can meet together, like Heartstrong in the mornings where we can dive into scripture together. The other reason it's important is because if we don't find ourselves in the word constantly, if we do not ask the Lord to place the word in our hearts, then we actually pose the risk of getting it wrong, even in our memories. Daryl Johnson once challenged Pastor Jason, who's our lead pastor in Orleans, with this. He said, I want to ask you this question. In the Ten Commandments in Exodus, what is the first line? I just want you to think about it. Don't say it out loud. In the first line of the Ten Commandments in Exodus, what is the first line? Pastor Jason recited what 99% of us would recite. Mr. Johnson says, that's amazing, because that's actually incorrect. See, 99% of people will say that the first line of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. But it's not. The opening line of the Ten Commandments is this: I am Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt. Moses comes down off of the mountain and presents the Ten Commandments. And before he ever gets into the rules and the law, he reminds them that he is the Redeemer. He reminds them that he is the God who set them free. He is the God who led them out of the desert. He is the God who has been giving manna from heaven. He is the Lord who sees them, who loves them, and is breathing life into them. I am Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt. God's arm of redemption rescues us first, then gives us his law in which we'll direct our life. Grace before law. And beloved, the arm of the Lord is never short. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah 40, verses 10. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Who is the arm of the Lord? It is Jesus. Isaiah 51, verse 9a. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in days of old, the generations of long ago. Isaiah 62, verse 8. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink your wine for which you have labored. Here in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, the arm of the Lord is delivered to signify strength. In Isaiah, he uses this as a metaphor to often describe Jesus in action. And church, this morning, let this be encouragement for those of you that have been reaching out to the Lord and asking him, God, where are you? He is moving even when you can't see it. Even in ways that we don't fully comprehend, our God is not an idle God. Church, those that you are calling out to for the Lord to move in salvation, he is speaking to them today. There may be situations where he gives you the words to say, but I want to encourage you today. Somewhere out there, somebody is looking at a platypus and God is saying, yes, I created even that crazy thing. God is revealing himself through creation. Have you ever stood and watched a sunrise or a sunset? Isn't it amazing to know that no matter how long you live, you've never seen the same one twice? What? Church, look around this room. Our baptism candidates, Liz Bell, as she came and gave a word, each and every one of you, you are uniquely and wonderfully made. God sees you. And he's not idle in your life. Our God is not a God who is distant. He is actively involved in his creation. He is walking with us. He is talking with us. And he calls us his own. This is the God of Christianity. One of the things that makes our God different is exactly what it is that he's spelling out here, is that he has an arm of strength, and that Jesus is never too short in strength and power. As Jesus walked on this world, there were many religious leaders with questions, and his arm was never too short. There was a woman at the well who held a burden, and his arm was not too short. There were people who were sick and oppressed and weary and angry, and aren't you thankful today? His arm was not too short. In Gethsemane on the cross, his arm was not too short. For each one who has ever walked into the waters of baptism, his arms are not too short. Whatever you are facing today, the unchanging arm of the Lord, from Old Testament to New Testament to walking with us today, his arm remains not too short. And we're blessed this morning to be able to fast forward into the New Testament to see where some of these prophesied messages of the prophet Isaiah come to fulfillment. In Matthew chapter 8, we read about how the arm of the Lord was never too short. Matthew 8, verses 1 to 3. When he came down from the mountain where he was meeting with the Lord, large crowds followed him, and right away a man with leprosy came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him, and all of the surrounding crowd would have gasped, saying, "I am willing. Be made clean." Underline this. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Church, when God speaks, he is quick to act. Matthew 8, 14 to 15, just a couple of verses later, Jesus steps into Peter's house and saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. So he reached out and he touched her hand and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve him. Church, this morning, when the arm of the Lord is present, miracles take place. To heal, Jesus doesn't have to touch or speak. It's simply his presence in the room and the faithfulness and the prayer in which he ministers, the fasting that he challenged his disciples to work with, that it was very clear that he was modeling himself. He is both meeting a need and fulfilling prophecy in these moments. Which is why, after listing these miracles, seeing the strong arm of the Lord in action before them, Matthew is quick to point us back to Isaiah 53, verses 4. Yet he himself bore our sickness, and he carried our pains. Again, the miracles of God, the miracles of Jesus as he walked about in human form, they were never separated from the message of God. It was clear that there was a cost to follow him. It was clear that there was something going on, that Jesus had come to change everything. Take a look again, just a few verses later, Matthew 18 to 22. When Jesus saw another large crowd around him, he gave the order to go to the other side of the sea. And a scribe approached him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus told him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." "Lord," another of his disciples said, "first let me go bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Church, as followers of Jesus, we don't seek for power. We are simply hungry for the presence of the person of Christ. We don't merely hungry for the hand of God and for his power to move, but here today we are desperate to see his face. God, we just want you. Isaiah prophesied, Jesus fulfilled. To a people in Babylonian captivity, the arm of the Lord was not too short. To the people whom Matthew wrote about, the arm of the Lord was not too short. To those who walked into the waters of baptism all throughout the history of the church, the arm of the Lord has never been too short. There's nothing wrong with all other arms. There's nothing wrong with all other strengths in life. But every one of them will fall short. For it is only the arm of the Lord that is never too short. One of my favorite things about the waters of baptism is that it's a guarantee. God will meet you there. I don't know how. I can't explain it. But every single time I'm able to walk up to the water baptism candidates, and those of you that have stepped into those waters, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You step into those waters and it feels like just being in any other body of water until you go under. And you go under, and when you come out, everything changes. Some will explain it as a lightness came over me. I just felt light, like I was walking on clouds. Others will say there was a peace that fell on me. Some come out and say, I think I heard the voice of the Lord. Others will say, I can't explain it. And I shared with our two candidates today. I said, listen, you get to have that great adventure for the rest of your life trying to explain what it is that happened. Because when it's God, it makes full sense and yet no sense at all. It's the great mystery of the gospel. Is that our God has revealed himself and yet is so beyond and so much greater and so much holier and so much more righteous and so much more just than we could ever comprehend, that we get to go on this journey for the rest of our life of discovering more and more and more and more about him. Leanne and Lorenzo, this morning, there are aspects of your faith, there's aspects of the baptism today that you are going to have revealed to you in Christ in 20 years from now. As God is going to take you to a verse, he's going to bring you to another conversation. Don't you just love aunties? Right? As soon as Alonzo said that, I was like, thank God for aunties. Thank God for grandparents. Thank God for mentors who we invite into our lives, who have gone a couple steps ahead of us. Church, if you don't have anyone in your life that is a few steps ahead of you, don't leave here until you approach someone with more gray hair in your head than mine. Or hey, if all your hair is gray, find someone with no hair, right? There's like, there's something happening there. There's something happening. But you need someone in your life that is a few steps ahead, because there's gonna come a time in your life where you're going to wonder, God, can you even reach me where I am? And church, we all need someone who can remind us the arm of the Lord is never too short. I don't know how, I don't know where, but I know that he is faithful. And I know that he is willing to do what we believe in. Why? Because he's done it before, and he's doing it today. And God Almighty, he will do it again. It's who he is. Students today, he wants to set your school free. The waters of baptism, I want many of our students today, you have taken that step. I want you to just go back this morning to the moment that God met you in that moment when you came out of the water. All of your friends need that. They need a peace that goes beyond understanding. They need a hope that has no bottom. They need a faith that will well up within them. Beloved, this morning, our young people need the strength and the arm of the Lord to be reminded that where everything else falls short, he does not. This is the God that we serve. And what was prophesied in the book of Isaiah found its fulfillment in the life of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to pray over your situation. I want to pray over exactly where you find yourself today. God is not afraid of your doubts. He will meet you in the midst of your prayers. Church, God is not afraid of your questions. You are allowed to ask, for he is able to meet you in that place. And constantly, I know many of you in this room would be able to testify, as I am able to testify, that on this journey with the Lord, all that I've done is just grow more and more and more in understanding. And as I grow in more and more and more in understanding, I realize how little I actually know. If you're in this room and you just want to know it all, be ready for a beautifully frustrating journey with God. Because he's so much greater. And his strength is so much bigger. You're talking about, God, I want to understand the one who can speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. And even the winds and the waves obey him. And yet you have been invited into relationship with him. If you're here this morning and you need to be reminded of the strength of the Lord, may his peace fall upon you today. If you're here this morning and you're praying for someone else in your life to know the strength of the Lord, I just want to encourage you today that he is moving in the lives of your families and friends in ways that you couldn't possibly imagine. Be faithful. Shine the light. Sprinkle the salt, so that they can taste and see, oh, this is the Lord who is already speaking to me. Oh, come on, somebody missed that today. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? It means that before you ever reveal Jesus to your friends and family, he's already there. The strength of the Lord is already at work. He didn't die on the cross just so that you and I could be free. He died on the cross so that the world would understand him. And we have this incredible moment to wrestle through the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, to look at the New Testament and say, oh, that's where it's being fulfilled. And now he has called us as the church to live this out so that the world can see he is good. He is righteous. He is freedom. And so before you ever speak the name of Jesus, you can walk into every situation knowing that he is already speaking to their hearts. We are simply a vessel being used to reveal the glory that has been shown to us, to the lives of those around us. Oh, come on, that's so good. Come on, that's so good. Some of you this morning are asking God, God, how can I tell them about who you are? God, how can I show them God, give me the words. Let me unlock the secret argument. And all you need to do is be faithful. Be faithful in your walk with the Lord, because faithfulness to Christ will confuse those who haven't seen him in fullness yet. So it just doesn't look the same. Come on, think of your aunties. Right? Think of your grandparents. Think of that influential figure in your life that God used to reveal. There's something in that story where you saw the faithfulness of the Lord where they shouldn't have been able to be faithful. Think of your brothers and sisters in the room that have testified, that are walking through very similar things that you have, and you sit there and wonder, what is going on here? How can they have faith? That's so hard, because the strength and the arm of the Lord, beloved, is not too short. And in every example, what God is speaking into your life is, what I have done for them, I will also do for you. Just remain faithful. Walk with me. Talk with me. Rest in me. Abide in me. Let me be your strength. This is the God that we serve. Life Center Kanata, he loves you so much. He loves you so much. And as we wrestle through the book of Isaiah, I pray that you would see this incredible plan that God had been put in place, that God had put in place hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus ever walked the earth. And would you realize today that if he can do that, if he can bring this prophecy to bear, what else does he have in store for your life? May the city of Ottawa know the name of Jesus. And let it just start here. Jesus for our country. Jesus for our world. Jesus for our families. Church, Jesus for your life. Let's pray. So God, I thank you that it's your strength that we speak of today. Not a single time, Lord Jesus, have we mentioned our own strength, because, Lord, we are aware this morning. And God, I pray that we be willing to admit that our strength is just not enough. That our strength falters. Our strength fails. Our strength, Lord Jesus, can produce pride. But your strength, God, your strength is holy. Your strength is love. Your strength is redeeming. God, your strength is restorative. God, your strength is safe. You are mighty. God, you are a champion. Your strength is victory over death. Your strength is the defeat of sin. And so, Lord, this morning we thank you for your Son, the arm of God. And Lord, I pray that each person in this room would walk out with a fresh revelation of just how strong you are. And so, Lord, I pray that each person in this room, Lord, those that are soaring on mountaintops right now, God, I pray that you would just take them deeper into your word this week. Lord, I pray that they would be faithful in the little things. Lord, I pray that they would be faithful in prayer. Be faithful, Lord Jesus, as they go to your word. Be faithful in encouragement. Lord, for those in this room that just feel like they're in the valley, Lord Jesus, or they're gasping for air, God, I pray that they would lean not on their own understanding, God, I pray this morning that they would lean not on their strength and their strategies, but instead, Lord Jesus, may this word be fresh life onto their feet. A reminder today, Lord God, that that is not where you have called us. And so, God, we don't diminish the circumstance. We don't diminish the things that they're praying and believing for. But instead, Lord God, I pray that your light would grow stronger. Instead, Lord Jesus, I pray that your face would be brighter in their circumstance. God, I pray that they would be reminded today that you are on the water, God, that you're in the boat with them in the midst of the storm, that greater is he that is in them than any of the winds and waves or anything that's coming against them. Lord, give them strength in your name, as was prophesied in Isaiah, as was brought to fulfillment in the Gospels. May it be our source today in 2025. You are the arm of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.